DW Africa Link.
Let's delve into the world of Yahoo Boys. No, I'm not referring to the tech-savvy employees of the internet giant Yahoo. No. In Nigeria, the term Yahoo Boys refers to individuals, typically young men, who are deeply involved in internet fraud and cybercrime. Their activities, which include romance scams, online identity theft, and sextortion, are on the rise in Nigeria. So, how widespread is this criminal activity, and how can it be stopped? That's what's coming up. I am Eddie Micah Jr., and you are welcome to Africa Link, the podcast connecting you to the stories that matter.
Africa Link, every weekday, here on DW.
Fraud in Nigerian banks is seriously getting out of hand. Imagine this. Back in 2013, banks were already losing about 11.6 billion naira. Fast forward to 2024, and boom, that number shot up to a staggering 52.3 billion naira, which is roughly $35 million. Now that's a massive leap in fraud. Let's get more from Yadu Aminu Philip, a retired banker in Nigeria, and Ben Chimang, our correspondent in Abuja, Nigeria. Hello to the both of you. Welcome to Africa Link. Mr. Philip, you worked for several banks in Nigeria before your retirement. Can you help us break down bank fraud and how widespread it is in Nigeria?
Bank fraud is a significant concern in Nigeria. And the prevalence of bank fraud covers all sectors of banking. That is the various segments as to deposit money banks, microfinance banks, development banks, and all types of banks. And the fraud seems to be increasing on a yearly basis. There are different types of frauds that are committed in the Nigerian banking system every time. You have e-fraud, you have internal fraud, you have ATM fraud, amongst various other types. The e-fraud, I mean, includes phishing, farming, skimming, SIM swap fraud, and account takeover. That is when the fraudulent persons try to take over your account from you through giving you information that are not properly yours, or they try to take advantage of you, steal information, and give it and use your account to commit the fraud. There are also internal fraud, which I mean they are perpetrated by the employees of the bank. They convert employers' assets, that is employers' money, or they convert customers' money. Internal fraud is also very significant and is causing a lot of problems in the system. We also have ATM fraud. This includes swapping of ATM cards, card cloning, and physical attacks during odd hours. Like during odd hours, if you are not careful and you are cashing money through the ATM in a quiet place, people can snatch your money from there or force you to give your card, and they force the ID from you and take your money.
Thanks a lot for trying to break it down for the three main types of fraud. And you also said that somehow it's increasing, if I got that right. I mean, per our understanding, last year alone, that's the year 2024, more than $34 million money was lost to fraudulent financial criminals in the country. Is there a sense that it's increasing, and why is that the case?
It is actually increasing, and there are a lot of reasons that lead to that. You see, because some of these things happen as a result of poverty. The hardship in the economy now is much, and people are trying to take advantage of all kinds of ways that they can help themselves. And in view of the difficulties in the economy, there are people that are going negative, taking advantage of whatever thing, including these fraudulent activities, to be able to help themselves. I think this is the major reason why bank fraud is increasing.
Right. And coming to you, Ben Chimang, it's definitely not a good thing that bank fraud is increasing. You've been speaking to some of the youth and some of the challenges they face when it comes to bank fraud. What exactly are they telling you?
In fact, they are saying that the bank fraud itself, the youths are so intelligent in doing this kind of fraud, to the extent that they lure people, they attract them, and before you know it, data, information about them, biodata is given. And within the twinkle of an eye, money is siphoned, money is gone. Not just the youths this time around, Eddie. You see, even government officials are involved in some of these things. And that's why you also find even former governors are being tried, because current ones cannot be tried because of immunity. Ministers, former ministers are being tried. Chief executive officers, lawmakers are being tried because of fraudulent activities. So it's a whole lot of complaint here and there, Eddie.
Clearly, you've been talking to some victims. Can you give us a scenario where one of them realized a little too late that, oh, this is fraud and I'm a victim?
Now, let me tell you that it happened to my wife. I'll be frank to you. We were at home one day. Suddenly, she saw that an alert, meaning that somebody has taken money from her account. She called my attention to it. Suddenly, another round of deductions had gone. A third and a fourth. I said, what do we do? And it was during a weekend. So it was not easy for her to stop it. And it is a common thing that very slowly, when they've broken into one system, they've received, they know the password, or they know the details. And there's a way they also trap it. It is when they've done the fraudulent act that the signals begin to tickle into your phone, that an alert, a deduction has been or money has been taken from your account. You wait for about 2 minutes, another one has come, a third time, a fourth time. And before you know it, they have since done it before they release your details. So it's craftily done.
Rather unfortunate about your wife's situation, but that's just a clear example that it happens to anyone, anybody, anytime, anywhere. And let me come to you, Mr. Philip, because you listened to Ben and his submission. You know, what does it say about bank fraud? I mean, how easy is it to defraud people, basically?
Well, you see, even the fraudulent people conspire with the staff of the bank in most cases. And that's why it becomes very easy. Give you an example. I also had my own experience, just like Ben had explained. The bank that I was using called me and asked me of the details of the token. They did not only ask me, they read the token that I'm carrying with me to say, okay, it seems you've been having problems with your account and we have called to assist you. And this is your token number. So you check and confirm. We are taking it from our records. And I did confirm, and I gave them further information. Before I knew, they had taken $350,000 from my account. To date, I could never recover it. So you see, there is conspiracy between the staff of the bank and the criminals themselves. In fact, some of the staff in the banking system, I can best describe as criminals, because they are the ones that give out the information. Outside the fact that, okay, we should be careful with our information, not just to give information to anybody, particularly when it's on phone, as it is gotten these days. You avoid giving any information at all by phone. Make sure you walk physically into the banking office and get your problems resolved than giving information by phone.
That's a good tip. And we'll delve more into solutions a bit later. But this term, Yahoo Boys, that's obviously a very popular term. You hear that, you know, all across the continent. As the name suggests, are we just talking about boys committing bank fraud, or are ladies or girls involved? What's your experience or understanding of it? Who are these Yahoo boys?
Now, I want to tell you that even the Yahoo boys, the term itself and even meaning has now found itself into the international dictionary. What we have realized is that there are some Chinese, some people from Philippines, even Pakistan. They come in into Nigeria here, and they can hire a very big building and employ Nigerians. And in employing them, these Nigerians are are told to take different identities. There could be boys, there could be girls. Girls take the identity of boys. Boys take the identity of girls. And they begin to discuss with people in Europe, in America, in Canada, South Africa, even Ghana, or even here in Nigeria. The idea is when you see a girl discussing with you, you begin to make some advances, and before you know it, you fall into a trap. So if we say, who are these Yahoo boys? We have realized that they are Nigerians. They are also some Africans in Nigeria. Chinese, as we are talking, close to around 300 were, that is Chinese, Nigerians, Pakistanis, and co, were arrested in Lagos, and they are now under detention and being tried because of this. So what they do is they stay here in Lagos and defraud people in Europe. And in the end, they say, oh, Nigerian Yahoo boys. And that's why they are now on trial.
Right. Mr. Philip, it sounds like a huge industry if even people from abroad, internationals, like as Ben is saying, our correspondent, talking about Chinese and people from Philippines. That sounds like quite a huge industry, doesn't it?
That's very correct. It's a huge industry. In fact, you don't say Indians and Pakistanis. Most of Asians are into these criminal activities in Nigeria.
Ben, let me jump back to you again, really, because I'm assuming if this is such a huge thing and Nigeria is losing, you know, tens of millions of dollars every year from, you know, bank fraud caused by the so-called Yahoo boys, then what measures have the Nigerian government put in place, right, that is helping to deal with this menace?
Yes, right from the banking sector, there is what is called KYA, that is, you know your customer. Who is he? Are they politically exposed persons? Do they have criminal tendencies? What are their past records? The banks must know all of this. It is part of the CBN law, so that you don't just allow people to swindle customers anyhow. Apart from that, there is the Economic and Financial Crimes Commission. These are the agencies or agents that will always arrest. In fact, they'll go into hotels and they can invade hotels where they have rooms to suspect that occupants are not just guests. They are just there defrauding people. That is another way. Another one is what they call Nigerian Financial Intelligence Unit. They are posted in the banks. Anybody who is withdrawing money, say the range of 5 million naira, either you are withdrawing or you are sending to somebody, the agencies duty is to alert the Economic and Financial Crimes Commission. Look, we are seeing huge money being ferried in or out. So let's monitor and see what is happening in case there is what you call terrorism financing. Then there is also the Cyber Crimes Act 2015, whereby all those involved, like the Yahoo boys, they have to be arrested, if caught, brought to justice, tried and jailed. Where necessary, you do some recoveries. If they bought houses, then apart from that, you have the criminal court, the penal court, and the Interpol, all of them trying to work together to ensure that networking at the international level is stopped.
Which is great that all these different sites are coming to work together. But somehow, it doesn't seem that they are doing such a great job, if I can say boldly, because we are saying that bank fraud is increasing and not decreasing. What's going on?
I think what is going on is not as if Nigerians do not, or Nigeria does not have enough laws to check all these things as accounted onto you. But there are times you also have the ability to kind of implement these laws. Do we have the willing mind? I mean, are Nigerians really ready to do it? Because along the line, you have some people who compromise. You have some judges who compromise. If you are talking of a criminal who is suspected of having, say, 3 billion naira, for example, and it involves you now as a judge, to try him and your salary is just 1 million naira, for example. And the man offers you 40 million naira. Look, play down on this case. You can see the role of corruption in all of that. Then, yes, the laws could be there, but right. In terms of even the judges, it takes such a long time, and perpetrators, at the point you see them moving so freely, feeling as if they are on top of the law, whereas right. The victims are just dying and going.
Right. And I mean, Mr. Philip, if the system is not doing a great job at dealing with bank fraud, that's a problem because, you know, these financial crimes would naturally affect investor confidence in the Nigerian economy and altogether be a bad thing for the country, wouldn't it?
Yes, sure. The system is not really doing quite a good job because on the part of the bank's management themselves, they underreport or not report some of these issues so as not to bring any negative effect on them. And as a result of that, a lot of things go unnoticed, even by the regulatory authorities that have been set. I think with technology, if it's done in such a way that issues of banking fraud is reported directly to the supervisory authorities, whether the management of the banks come into it or not, it will alleviate these problems. Because we know that with this negative effect of bank fraud in the system, it discourages investors' confidence. It does not make investors to feel very confident in investing in the economy. But when it's properly checked, we find out that everybody will be happy. They want to come in because they know that their monies will be saved. As it is now, it is not quite safe. And so they are afraid to bring in their money with all the negative consequences that it carries by, you know, capital flight. Some are even taking away their money. Some are deterred from coming because of what is going on and all that.
So, Mr. Philip, let's talk about how to protect these customers, right? What are the checks and balances that the banks, those that are serious about really tackling this, what can they put in place to protect customers from these so-called Yahoo boys who commit bank fraud?
Just like Ben has earlier mentioned, there are already measures in place, like know your customer. Before you start dealing with any customer, you must know the customer very well. Now, it's not only knowing your customer, but know your customer's customers. Or know your customer's business. And so whenever anything is coming, if you've had this, you have the KYC in place, it makes it much easier for you to detect, is the man, is the customer operating within the confines of his business or he's going out of it by virtue of the amounts and whatever, then you can be able to track and say, okay, this is within his limit or outside his limit. Then there is this anti-money laundering laws that is operating in the system. But like I said, it is under reporting of those anti-money laundering laws.
Ben, we've heard what Mr. Philip is saying and, you know, basically adding to what you said, that there are laws that should help protect people, but they are just not really being enforced. And as Mr. Philip says, some banks also under report because they don't want to affect their reputation and all. So the question then is, how does Nigeria fight this?
Yes, Nigeria fights this by ensuring that the laws are followed, and anybody therefore caught has to be taken to court. But one is taken aback, even when the Economic and Financial Crimes Commission would make this huge, large arrest. They have been paraded and shown before television, and even when you take them to court, before they enter the courtroom and when they are out, they are filmed. Now, the Minister of Justice has brought a kind of an order that it is wrong and illegal to show faces of those accused. And Nigerians are just wondering, say, look, if you show their faces, there are some victims who might probably identify some of these perpetrators and say, oh, in such other case, these people were involved. But here we are, they said those involved in terrorism that have been arrested or banditry, armed robbery, now Yahoo boys, government is saying don't show their faces. So that is dampening the morale of Nigerians who are feeling that, look, show their faces. But why is it that it's easy for us to know the victims and we don't want the perpetrators known or their faces shown?
Right. Thank you for that, Ben. And Mr. Philip, you know, we've talked about what the banks ideally should do. Whether they do that or not is always the challenge. But what about if I'm a customer, if you know, I want to put my money in the bank because, you know, I don't want to keep it in my room, my bedroom, or give it to someone else. What should I be looking out for? What extra effort should I as a customer take to, you know, protect myself from being a victim of Yahoo Boys or bank fraud?
Okay, just as the bank will take care to know their customers and their customers' businesses, so also the customer, before picking a bank, should do a due diligence to know which bank is really good at managing customers' assets with the barest minimum of losses. So we have to do a due diligence on the banks that we are taking our businesses to. And how do? We get reports on them. And in fact, this is why some of the banks underreport negative activities or frauds in their system, so that they don't expose themselves in the market where people will now, or where that negative report would demarcate them from customers going through them. So as a customer, I have to do due diligence on the banks before I go, ensuring that they have track record of not having negative influences of frauds and forgeries, and that they have a name that anybody that hears it will know that, okay, this bank is really truly there and is not influenced by all these negative things. So due diligence is one. And the due diligence you will also see in their investment in technology. How is technology helping them to manage negative influences of frauds and fraudulent activities?
Right. And also, I mean, if any customer faces an issue with a bank, what should they do to address it? Because the more people report the banks for, you know, these issues, the more it will help, right?
Yes. The banks, of course, whenever there are problems, that the bank should be ready to resolve these issues in favor of the customer without taking too much time or going through legal processes before they recover their money. By the time they are easy to approach and the customer feels like, whenever I have an issue, my bank has always resolved it peacefully, without dragging, without anything, restoring me back to my position where I started before the fraud, it gives them the confidence to say, okay, this is the right place to go. But for those customers, those banks that will drag along with their customers, taking them to court, and even when they win cases in court, they drag it even to the Supreme Court. In fact, it demarcates such banks in the system.
Right. And altogether, just creates a very disturbing environment for customers and the banks to work well together, while all the same, bank fraud increases in Nigeria. Yadu Aminu Philip, retired banker in Nigeria, and Ben Chimang, our correspondent in Abuja, Nigeria. Thank you very much to the both of you for your time.
Get the stories that are shaping the continent here on Africa Link.
Like everywhere else, more and more people in Nigeria are using digital banking, right? And unfortunately, the scammers are getting way more clever. They're finding new ways to trick people, and the banks are struggling to keep up, while some banks are complicit in the crime. Now, financial fraud is not just a Nigeria problem. Countries like Rwanda and Kenya have also faced significant fraud challenges, but they have implemented robust digital security measures such as advanced biometric verification to mitigate these risks. So there's more Nigeria needs to do to tackle the problem. Implementing advanced security measures and strengthening legal frameworks are crucial steps towards reducing these losses. Let me know what you think. Please share your thoughts with us on our Facebook page, DW Africa. Listen to us on Spotify or wherever you get your podcast from. Don't forget to click follow and subscribe to our DW Africa YouTube channel so you never miss an episode. This show was co-produced and edited by Isaac Mugabe. And I am Eddie Micah Jr. Thanks for listening.
DW. Made for Minds.